Welcome, everyone. Good to see you. Are you folks, how many people in here are stay up late New Year's Eve kind of folks? And bring in the new year? Yeah. What? Well, yeah. There's two holidays that I don't like. New Year's Eve and 4th of July, because they're both late night and noisy, and I go to bed at 10 o'clock, and when there's all kinds of noise, I tried so hard to stay awake this year on New Year's Eve. My daughter and her husband were coming back from Davenport, Iowa, and they were going to get there late, so I tried so hard to stay awake, and at 11:35, my wife said, just go to bed, just go away. So I did. I went to bed. And I heard him come home, but it was too hard to get up, so I didn't. Anyhow, we are into a new year, and so today what we're going to talk about, it's that time of year when we talk about New Year's resolutions. And some people make resolutions, some don't. There's something in us that likes a new start, likes a fresh start, likes to, okay, now the old is done, and now we're starting something brand new, and so we like to look forward and think, hey, I can do something different, or I can change something. And so that's kind of why I think New Year's resolutions are a thing. And again, some people are way into them, some people not so much. But when if you do make a resolution, or when you think about the future and think, hey, I'm going to do this thing, it's usually something meaningful, right? You know, we make resolutions because we think, well, this is an important thing, or it's something that's going to be very helpful. I'm going to do something for my health. I'm going to do something. I'm going to be a better worker at work, or I'm going to, spend more time with this person who needs my time, or something. We make resolutions. We decide I'm going to change something. I'm going to institute or craft something. My life is going to be a little bit different, but it's in a meaningful way or in a helpful way. We make resolutions about important things that we think are important. You know, nobody makes resolutions to, you know, I'm going to keep my resolution is to do everything like I did last year. I mean, we don't do that kind of thing. We think there's something meaningful, something important. I'm going to change that. And so we do that. And again, whether you write it down, whether you do it on January 1st, I do think it's good to look ahead, look into the future, think about your life and say, what are some things perhaps that I can do differently that would be meaningful, that would be helpful? I think that's a good thing to do. And so we tend to think about it this time of year. So what today is about, what I'd like to do today is just to make a couple of suggestions. That's all these are. These are suggestions of things that you and I could look at and say, you know what, I want to add these things to my life. I want to somehow, I'm going to resolve, or I'm going to do whatever it takes to make these things true in my life. I have some suggestions for you for what these things can be. And the things that I'm going to suggest are things that God says we can have. Some things that God says we can have, and I think if we think about them, we would look at them and say, wow, I really want those things, okay? So for the next few minutes, I'm going to share some suggestions to you. Here are things that God says you can have in your life. Here are things that God says can be true of you, and that when we look at them and understand them, I think all of us would say, wow, I really want that to be true of me in a much greater way in the future, okay? So I think that these are resolutions, or at least these are things that God says we can have that we want. So we're going to look at them, but we're also going to look at, see, resolutions are easy. Oh, it is so easy to make a resolution, isn't it? I'm going to lose weight. I have made that resolution many times. I'm going to lose it. It's just so easy to say that. I just said it. But doing it is what is hard, isn't it? Actually, then, doing whatever it takes to make that happen, that's what makes it hard. So we're going to talk about that here a little bit, all right? So here we go. What are some things that you and I can add to our life. We can increase in our life things that God says we can have, things that we say that when we think about them, we would really want them. Here's the first one. Now, actually, I'm going to stop just for a second. These things, when I say them, are going to seem perhaps cliche to you. It's kind of like, you know, the New Year's resolution to lose weight. It's we say it so much it seems cliche. These things that I'm going to say might seem to you like, yeah, it's like, you know, I want world peace, you know, everybody, or something like that. Do not make the mistake of thinking that these things, I've heard this so many times, it doesn't mean anything. These are things that God says to you, you can have this. This is right there, it is available for you, and if you think about it, you think, oh my gosh, I need and want that desperately, okay? So that's my caveat. Here we go, here's the first one. Things God says you can have in increasing measure. First one, wisdom and understanding. You can have wisdom and understanding. Here in Isaiah chapter 50, start reading here in verse 4. It says, "The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back." That's an amazing thing. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. God says that you can have wisdom and understanding. Now, think about that in light of the conversations that you and I have all the time, particularly perhaps in light of the conversations that you have had a lot in this past year, when you have gotten into conversations about the pandemic, or when you have gotten into conversations about the political world, or when you have gotten into conversations about racial issues. We have these conversations. We've lived in a world where you and I interact with other people, and we're searching for truth. We're searching for wisdom. We're searching for understanding. I mean, that's what goes on. You have a conversation with someone about the pandemic, and you're both trying to figure out what's right, what's real, and what do I do about it. We've had thousands of those conversations. God says an amazing thing here. I can give you wisdom and understanding. Now, that's different than information. Wisdom and understanding is not the same as information or facts. Facts, information is cheap. You can go out and get all the information you want this afternoon. It's cheap. Cheap meaning it is readily available. You know, it's just there. You go on the internet, you can get all the information you want. You get every statistic there is about COVID. You can get every, you know, doctor's report. It's all there. Everybody can get all the facts that they want. What we really want is to know how to look at those facts and accurately and helpfully know what they mean. That's the trick. That's the trick. Okay, here's all the statistics about COVID. How do I take that and understand them so that I know what to do in response to it? Does that make sense? It's the difference between having all the lumber and nails that you need to build a house. That's one thing. I have all the materials I need to build a house, but I have to somehow take all that lumber and know how to cut it and put it together so that I can build a house. The lumber and the nails and the screws and the trusses are not the house. That's just the raw materials of the house. God says you can have wisdom and understanding. You can be able to hear all of the facts, all of the information, and assimilate it well. In verse 4 A, that's first verse here. He says, the Sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. Think about that in light of the conversations you have. God can give you an instructed tongue. You can understand so that you can speak rationally and well. And not just rationally and well, helpfully, to know the word that sustains the weary. So you can leave conversations, not just as an argument, maybe not even agreeing on things, but being able to have a good, helpful, positive conversation with people. I think that's what this means. God can give you an instructed tongue. Your words can be helpful. Your words can be understandable and helpful. Now, that's tied to something here. It's tied to this, the next passage. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The Sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. So here we go. God says, I can give you an instructed tongue. Your words can help. But it's tied to something. To get that, he wakens me morning by morning, and I listen. And I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. It is tied to something. God says you can have this wisdom and understanding, but it's tied to you waking up and listening. It's tied to you paying attention. It is tied to you allowing yourself to be instructed by God. It is not tied to you gathering more information. It is tied to you allowing yourself to sit back and let God instruct you. Let God tell you something. Let God shape your mind. Really, what it's tied to is discipline. I will be disciplined enough to sit back, Lord, and to let you instruct me. And if you instruct me, I will then have an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. I will have understanding and knowledge. You know, David said, I am wiser than my teachers in Psalm 119. I am wiser than my teachers. Why? Because you teach me, Lord. David would sit and let God teach him. You can have wisdom and understanding. God can give it to you. That is available to you. It comes from God. But it's tied to you letting him instruct you, letting him teach you, having the discipline to sit and let him teach you. That's one thing, wonderful thing that you can have here in the coming year. Here's another one. We can have wisdom and understanding. We can have courage and strength. Boy, these sound cliche, don't they? Don't go there. Don't go there. God says you can have courage and strength. Listen to this in Psalm. I like this in the New King James Version. This is in Psalm 138, verses 2 and 3. Well, I'll start reading in verse 1. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. I love that. You made me bold with strength in my soul. This has to do with your convictions. You know, God says he can give you wisdom and understanding. And so you can know what I believe. And I can have a good, solid understanding of what's going on. Not that you know everything, but I can have an understanding, and I can learn how to speak that well. This has to do with the convictions and not being moved by all of the different things that you hear. Because what happens sometimes is that God has instructed me, but then I go out into the world and I get bombarded with all this stuff and I just get confused and I kind of wilt. God says, no, you don't have to do that. You can have strength in your soul. You're not pushed over by all the different things that happen in the world, that happen around you, all the different ideas. It's not that you don't pay attention, but you're not moved and shaken. This has been a year of being shaken, isn't it? And so we try to stay strong. We try to say, no, I'm not going to go over. But what happens is sometimes it left to ourselves, it is very difficult. God says, I can give you boldness, strength in your soul. I like that. Strength in my soul. You made me bold with strength in my soul. That's deep. That is deep and foundational. If you remember a few months back, we talked about foundations. You remember that? And we spent a lot of time talking. Was that over the summer? I forget when we talked so much about the foundations. And if you lay a foundation deep in the ground and build your house on that foundation, then your house is strong and secure. This is a courage and a strength deep in your soul. And it is not bowled over when people disagree with you. These convictions, the understanding that God gives you, can be solid and strong and unshakable. That's an amazing thing. Deep in your soul, you can be strong. Deep in your soul, you can be courageous. I know what I believe. I know what God has said to me. I believe this is what it means. And I'm able to stand and let the pressures of the world around me not knock me over, because I'm confident in the Lord. And I'm not afraid to say what I believe, whatever that may be. Confident with strength in your soul. But this is tied to something as well. And here in Psalm 138, we see what it's tied to. In verse 2, I will worship toward your holy temple, and I will bow down toward your holy temple. I will praise your name. I will bow down toward your holy temple, and I will praise your name. I will call out to you. I will cry out to you. See, this courage, this strength comes not from yourself. It comes from an attitude of humility before the Lord and really what you need. And this doesn't make sense. We don't think of courage and strength flowing from humility, do we? We think of courage and strength flowing from standing up straight and not backing down at all. God says, no, you can have courage and strength in your soul, but it comes from humility. The courage and strength that comes from, I'm going to stand up straight, that will fail because the winds, when the tornado went through my neighborhood last year, all of the oak trees, every one of them, snapped in half. Snap, 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 snap. These big, tall red pines bent over. And then they came back up. Not all of them. Some of the red pines disappeared too. But in proportion, way more of those soft, flimsy red pines survived the tornado than the oaks. The oaks are what we try to do. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be strong. Pop. The pressure of the life snaps us. This kind of courage and strength is I'm going to submit to the Lord. I'm going to bow down. And then the winds blow over us and we stand up strong. You can have that. You can have that kind of strength, but it's tied to humility. Wisdom and understanding, courage and strength. Here's another thing God says you can have. You can have peace and safety. Peace and safety in the world. I'm going to read some verses here in Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. You and I can have contentment. Contentment. In a world that is very discontented right now, isn't it? If you look at the world, it's just lots of things that make us troubled, lots of things that make us afraid, lots of things that make us confused. We can have contentment regardless of the conditions. If you read this, David said, you know what, though, if war breaks out against me, when my enemies and foes attack me, though an army besiege me, lots of hard, fearful, dangerous situations. But my heart will not fear. Even then will I be confident. There is a peace and there is a safety that God says you can have regardless of the conditions. There's a contentment that you can have. No fear. Because the world is not fearful? No, the world is fearful. But because God gives you something different. We can have this, that I can gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. The trouble is there. Doesn't say God's going to take the trouble away. What he says is in the midst of that trouble, you're going to be safe. You're going to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. In the midst of a swirling, angry world, you can have contentment. But that's tied to something as well. Here. That's tied to this. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. It is tied to a priority. It is tied to your desire. What do you really want in the world? And it is tied to a selling out. This, I think, 2020, perhaps more than anything else, gives us an opportunity to answer this question. What do you most want in the world? What do you most want in your life? How are you going to define success at the end of your life? Is it your health? Is it your finances? Is it any number of things? David said, I have contentment in a crazy world, but you know why? Because I have set my number one desire, my number one priority. I am selling out for this. To dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. There is a desire, a longing, that if we have this longing for God, that is the beginning, that is the pathway to peace and safety and contentment in this world. So, wisdom and understanding, courage and strength, peace and safety. I can get into a conversation, I don't know everything, but I can be convinced of what I have heard God tell me. And I can have a conversation with you, and if you and I disagree, I can speak wisely and well, and even in such a way that it's helpful for you. I know the word that sustains the worry. I can have wisdom and understanding, not just facts. Wow, that's amazing. I can have convictions. I can have courage and strength in my soul. So these things that I hear God tell me, when the winds blow against me, when people say, no, that's wrong, or whatever. I'm solid, I'm strong. I can have peace and contentment no matter what's happening around me, whether anybody pays attention to me or not, whether I'm right or wrong. I can have contentment in this world because my priority is spending time with God. God says you can have those things. I think that And if we look at that, I think all of us would say, yeah, I want that. Who wouldn't want those things, right? I mean, I think, who wouldn't want those things? And God says they're available, but Christian, if you are a Christian, I'm going to say this, and I don't mean this to be anything other than what I think this is the truth. We want these things. God offers us these things, and many of us won't get these things. We want them. God offers them. Many of us won't get them. And the reason is because we're not willing to do what is necessary to get them. I have some pictures here. I went up to that's Columbine Pass up in the Beartooth Mountains in Montana. And Columbine Pass is a long way up in the mountains, if you know anything about the mountains, you know there's passes, and what a pass is just usually a more narrow place where as you go up the mountain, you don't have to go clear to the peak to get over. There's these passes where you can kind of go over the top of the mountains. This is Columbine Pass, one of those passes. And you get up to it, and it's this huge, I mean, you're way up in the air. I think Columbine Pass is over 10,000 feet, and it's probably 11, 12,000 feet. You're way up in the air. But it's this meadow. It's this incredible meadow. And we got up there, and Luke, can you show the next picture? It was that. Just acres of these mountain wildflowers. We were up there in June. And it was breathtaking to see. And then this next picture is one of my favorites, where you just look out over this mountain range. And being up in the mountains, if you've ever been up in the mountains, scroll through those pictures again, Luke. I mean, there's something about it that you look at it. We love pictures like this, because it stirs our imagination. It stirs our soul to think, man, I would love, look, oh, you know, it, whether you like mountains or flowers or sunshine, it is stunning to be up in places like this. And it was one of the neatest things that I've been able to see with my own eyes is being in Columbine Pass. But here's the, you can just leave it there, Luke. Here's what happened for me to get up there. We had to, my brother-in-law and I, we had to take, I forget if it was 7 or 10 miles, we had to walk to base camp up the mountain. I think it was either 7 or 10 miles. So we had to go to base camp. So I had to put on a 50-pound pack with food and tents and everything we needed to get up there, and I had to walk up the mountain thousands of feet up for 7 or 10 miles, I forget what it is, to get to the base camp, just the base camp. From base camp, then, we didn't have time to get all the way up to the pass in one day because it was too far. So then we had to set up base camp, spend the night there, sleeping on the rocks and those little pads that you buy for hundreds of dollars. They don't help. You're still sleeping on a rock. Then the next morning, get up and go another 3 miles and a couple thousand feet up to the pass. When I was going up that first day with that 50-pound pack, and we've done this a lot. My brother-in-law and I have done this several times. But I was getting older, and I remember at one point I stopped, and this we'd been on the trail for hours and hours and hours. And I thought we were supposed to have been to base camp by now, and we weren't, and I didn't know how much farther it was. And I remember stopping and looking at this incline I had to go up. And I thought, I for sure don't want to go up that incline, and I don't know if I can. And even if I can, I don't want to. This pack feels like 180 pounds now. My legs hurt. My lungs are burning. I'm done with this. But, so I had a choice. You know, I can give up. I can put my tent up right there. I can go back down. I don't know. But if I want to see this, I don't have a choice. My only option is to go up that incline that I don't want to go up, that I don't know if I can get up. Here's the point to that, folks. Those things that God says you can have, those wonderful things, wisdom and understanding, courage and strength, peace and safety, they cost you something to get them. They are not free. And if you are unwilling to pay the price to get them, you will not get them. You won't. Many, many, many Christians long for those things and never have them, not because God won't give them, but because they won't go get them. So, what must you do to get those things? What's your incline that you got to go up? What's your 10-mile hike up the mountains with a 50-pound pack that you have to do in order to get these things? They're not difficult to understand, they're just difficult to do. What must you do if you want wisdom and understanding, to know the word that sustains the weary? What must you do if you want courage and strength, a conviction deep in your soul, What must you do if you want peace and safety in a dangerous world? And I'll offer you three things that you can do. They're not difficult to comprehend, but you will be tempted not to do them. Here's the first one. You have to read the Bible. You have to read the Bible. There is no substitute. There is no substitute. Listen to me. If you want to understand, this is where it starts. You will not understand the world around you if you don't devote yourself to reading this book. You will not understand the world around you if you don't devote yourself to reading this book. You will not understand the world around you. You won't. If you don't devote yourself to reading this book. Why? Because God understands the world in a way that you and I never will, and He speaks to you here. This is the beginning of you being instructed by God. You have to have God speak to you if you want to understand the world. You cannot figure it out on your own. You can't. You can't get wisdom from other people because they don't understand it any more than you do. You have to let God instruct you. And this is the beginning of instruction from God. If you don't read this book, you will not hear from God because you won't recognize His voice. You won't understand Him. This is the beginning. There's a verse that you should memorize. I memorized this years ago. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Only then will you prosper. Do not let this book depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Obey what it says. There is nothing... I think this is true. There is nothing more powerful that you will ever do than to wake up tomorrow morning and read the Bible. Read the Bible. God says His Spirit is in this. It's a spiritual book. It's living and active. What makes it living and active is God's Spirit flows out of those words and it speaks to you because God's Spirit lives in you and there is a connection between what's inside of you and these words. It's not magic, it's spiritual. This is a spiritual thing. And if you don't believe that, you are destined. Christian, you are destined to ignorance. In this world. And no amount of facts and information will help you. Because you will be standing amidst all of the lumber and materials you need to build a house, and the rain will be pouring on your head. Because you don't have the understanding to do anything with it. That comes from God. And it comes from God first. It begins here. Now, God speaks to us in all kinds of ways. God speaks to us through other people. God speaks to us through nature. God speaks to us in dreams. God speaks to us in our soul. God speaks to us through music. He speaks to us in all kinds of ways. But without you constantly reading this, it's going to be just noise. You're not going to understand it. God's voice is going to be distant and confusing and garbled, and you're not going to recognize it amidst all the other voices in the world. This is what helps you pick out God's voice and know what it means. This and nothing else. Nothing else. If you are a Christian and you don't, see, this is where I have to be careful because I don't want to be insulting, but I want to be honest with you. If you are a Christian and you don't read this every day, you are a fool. Because God says, don't let this depart. This is the beginning of you hearing from God. And why wouldn't you want that? I apologize for that word. I don't want to be insulting, but I want to be forceful, folks. I want to be forceful. You can pick this up and read it tomorrow. You can. Will you? That's the only question. It doesn't take a lot of brains to strap a 50-pound pack onto your back and walk up the mountain. But will you? Get up and read tomorrow morning. What must you do? You have to read the Bible. Here's a second thing you got to do. You got to talk to God. You have to pray. Mark 1:35, Jesus prayed very early in the morning. This is Jesus. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. He did that regularly. If you read Jesus' history, his life story, regularly, he would go off by himself and pray. He talked to God. David did the same thing. King David, this man after God's own heart, this godly man who influenced the world around him, says, morning by morning, I get up and you hear my voice. Every morning, Lord, you hear my voice. I lay my request before you, and then I sit and listen, because prayer is not just talking, it's a conversation, and I'm speaking to God, and God is speaking back. You talk to God. And what that looks like, and you know, all of us are different. I'm a guy who talks to God a lot as I'm just kind of going through the day in my head, and that's just kind of how I'm wired. So much of my life happens inside my head because that's how God made me. And so a lot of my conversations with God happen when I'm doing something else, and in my mind I'm having a conversation with God. My wife is very different. She has a conversation with God out loud, and she and God stand in the living room and talk. And I don't know what it looks like for you. It could look like a lot of things. But does God hear your voice directed at him? Certainly he hears your voice. I mean, that's not the issue. God is always close. But does he hear your voice directed at him? In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayers to you. I will order my prayers to you, it says in Psalm 5. Does that happen? Do you spend time talking to God? I have this. I drive 20 minutes to work every day and 20 minutes home. I love music, so I naturally would put on music in the morning on my way in. And I just said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to talk to God instead. So I take 20 minutes, and I have to consciously choose to not do something else so I can get a few. Some silence, some quiet time with God, and he and I can talk. What must you do? You must talk to God. Here's the third thing that you must do. If you want these things, wisdom and understanding, courage and strength, peace and safety, you have to read the Bible, you have to talk to God, and the third thing is you can't quit. Don't quit. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. Trials come, and the thing about a trial is it makes us want to stop doing something that maybe we know we should do. This verse says, those trials develop perseverance in you. Perseverance is just another way to say I didn't quit. What is perseverance if I don't quit? Well, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Just the fact of saying I'm not going to quit it's necessary. This is where most of us, I think, fall down, or many of us fall down. I'm going to read the Bible, and you start strong, and you do it. I'm going to talk to God, and you start strong, and you do it. But then you miss some days, and then you fail, and then you don't do it, and we never pick it back up. You know, failure is not the end of the story at all. Failure is just part of growth. If you say, God, I want these things, and I know I need to read the Bible, I know I need to talk to you, but I just missed 10 days of it. Well, here's what I'm going to do, God. I'm going to start again right now. And that's good. That's perseverance. And you need it. You see, the fact that you missed 10 days isn't the issue. The fact is, am I going to start again now? That's the issue. That's the issue. When you're walking up the mountain and you're exhausted and you say, forget it, I'm done. And you sit down and you take your pack off and you throw it on the ground and you say, I'm done hauling that stupid thing up the mountain and my legs hurt and I'm tired and I'm sore. And you sit there and eat a Cliff Bar and feel sorry for yourself. You haven't lost yet. You haven't lost yet. Because you can square your shoulders, put that pack back on, and keep slogging up the mountain. And you'll get there. You haven't lost till you give up and you quit. And you leave your pack there and walk back down to the car. Drive to the Motel 6. Watch television. And be content with a picture of Columbine Pass rather than the grandeur of the reality of it. So many of us as Christians say, oh, I tried to read the Bible. It doesn't work for me. I can't understand it. I try to talk to God, but I get so confused. I can't do it. That's like saying, you know what? I tried sit-ups. I did a sit-up. I'm still fat. Sit-ups don't work for me. I did one. It don't work. You got to do sit-ups every day for a long, long time. Oh, I read the Bible, I don't understand it. Read it again. You'll understand it as time goes on. Oh, I don't know what to say to God. Keep trying. You'll figure it out. Don't quit. Don't quit. If you failed, that's fine. God is not, what do you need? Ah, you blew it. You stopped. Ha! You lose. This is not Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. You lose, you broke the rules, you get nothing. That is not how God works. You failed. You missed 10 days. It's all right. Will you come now? You will? Good. Let's keep going. We're going to get up to Columbine Pass, you and me. That's how God works. Don't quit. You can have wisdom and you really can. Without exaggerating, you can be wiser than your teachers. That's what David said. God can give that to you. He offers that to you. You can have it. You can have courage and strength so that you're not pushed around by all the waves and the pressures that come. You can know what you believe, and you can stand strong with a boldness deep in your soul. God offers that to you. You can have peace and safety and contentment in the midst of a dangerous, confusing, dark world. God offers that to you. You can have these things. You can have these things. Now, you have to do something to get them. You have to read the Bible. You have to talk to God, and you have to keep doing both of those things. The last thing I'm going to say is, what fuels that? You have to have a motivation to do that. What fuels that for you? I'm going to go back to Psalm 27, verse 8. It says, my heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, O Lord, I will seek. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, O Lord, I will seek. Here is what I think is the fuel for you to push through and to do these things. It's desire and it's despair. I long for that because I know how good it is, Lord. One thing I ask of you, I desire you and I despair. It breaks me to think I won't get it. We like the first one. Oh, we're all about desire. I want this thing. You and I want all kinds of things we don't have. If you don't add despair, which is if I don't get it, I'm going to feel the loss of it. And I can't stand that. Despair is the other side of desire. I long for this. But if I don't feel the desperate, horrible, painful loss of it, that desire just kind of disappears. Despair keeps desire strong. I don't know if that makes sense to you. You go talk to God about that. But the thought of missing out on my relationship with God I can't bear that. I cannot bear the thought of that. And so I keep going because I won't sink into that despair. But the despair is there. Does that make sense, guys? You have to desire something. If you don't have the desire or the despair, I almost put desire and discipline. Because I think you need discipline too. But I think that the discipline comes from despair. If you are starving, you will do anything it takes to get food. If you're full, you just don't care. If you are starving for God, if that desire is strong and you feel the lack of it, that despair will motivate you. That's where your discipline is going to come from. If you don't have those things, if you don't long for God more than anything else in this world, if you don't feel the lack of Him, and if that doesn't bother you, then here's what you do in 2021. You just talk to God about that. Lord, I need that. I need that desire. I need to feel the despair of the lack of you. And He's fine with that. That's where you are. Go to Him with that. Go to Him with that. And maybe in 2021, God stirs those things in your heart. That is a win. That's a great year. Because now you're on the path. You're going up the mountain. You have strapped on the pack. You are on your way up to Columbine Pass. See, you can have those things. I can have those things. My longing is to live my life in such a way that I get those things. And I pray that you would as well. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much, Lord, that you offer us these things. You really do. Understanding and wisdom, to know the word that sustains the weary, you tell us you can give that to us. Courage and strength deep in my soul that's not shaken by the world. Peace and security, contentment in a world that's not content. You offer us those things. But Lord, there's something we have to do to get them, and I just pray that we would do them. You speak to us through your word. You touch us deep in our soul as we pray to you. And you give us the opportunity to get up and to do it again, whether we failed or not. I just pray that we would do those things, Lord. And I pray mostly that each one of us, we would be like David and say, one thing I ask of the Lord, one thing will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. I pray, God, that that's maybe where we are, where you need to stir that and build that and fan that fire in our hearts, where we desire you and we feel the loss of you. I just pray that we would have that, because that will motivate us, Lord. That will motivate us toward you, and we will be so blessed as we draw closer to you. Help us, Lord, to be that, in Jesus' name. Amen.